This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Earlier this month, Nancy Black, a marine biologist working in California, was fined $12,500 for feeding killer whales in Monterey Bay. She lured the orcas to her research vessel using gray whale blubber and filmed them while they fed. Black's work has appeared on PBS, Animal Planet, and the National Geographic Channel. Her offense gained national attention and sparked a debate on the ethics and methods being used in the competitive field of wildlife photography. Joining us with more is National Geographic contributing writer Jennifer Holland. She wrote the article, Don't Feed the Bears, Ethics in Wildlife Photography and Filmmaking. Jennifer, welcome to Word of Mouth.
Thanks for having me on.
Nancy Black is not the first person to get into trouble for crossing an ethical line making wildlife photographs. What are some other examples?
Oh, sure. There's a lot of them. A lot of the really classic films and photos out there actually are known to have been staged, or there have been, you know, feeding, that sort of thing. But some of the people who got in trouble include a guy who was stripped of his Natural History Museum Photographer of the Year Award. His name was Jose Luis Rodriguez. He had passed off a tame wolf as a wild one, or had tried to, and got caught doing that. Another gentleman, photographer Gilles Nicolet, staged a photo about ivory poaching, and the photograph ended up in National Geographic, and there was a lot of flack for that as well.
Is there an official code of ethics for wildlife photographers?
As far as I know, there really isn't. I think it's something I spoke with a photographer about at length, and he said, you know, there are certain rules that certain organizations put out there, but in the end, people are out in the field doing what they do, and there isn't necessarily somebody overseeing it, and so they have to really make good decisions on their own and decide what is worth doing to meet their goals and what isn't.
So although there have been some pretty egregious offenses, I guess baiting an animal might be one of the most popular yet ethically dubious methods used in wildlife photography. Can you give us an example of baiting and why it's bad and how photographers justify it?
Sure. Well, I think a lot of times you hear about in marine situations, you know, just to bring in something like sharks, you know, there may be putting out crates of bait or something like that just to kind of seed the area to get the scent in the water to bring the animals around for photography. The photographer I spoke to talked about a situation of, you know, tossing mice into the scene to try to get an owl to swoop in for the photo, things like that. So it can be, you know, as much as just as actually handing off a live animal to another animal, or it might just be kind of trying to gather animals around because of a scent in the area.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've been on deep sea fishing trips where they do similar things. What's wrong with it?
Well, that's a good question, and I think that's going to vary depending on who you speak to. You know, I think for most of the photographers who I have worked with National Geographic and others, they really care about what they're doing. They care about the wildlife, and yes, they're trying to make a living, but their goal is also to help with perhaps conservation of the animal, raising awareness, and so they make decisions very, very thoughtfully about what they're going to do in order to get the photographs that they need. You know, some people would say that throwing some food out is really not that big a deal if you're not giving them something they wouldn't normally eat, or if you're not interfering too much with their lives, if you're not putting them at risk, something like that. But others are really purists, and they feel that if you can't wait long enough to see the animals do things on their own and come get their own prey, then you're not doing it right. And again, it's just going to vary depending on the person.
I guess waiting it out is a big part of it. Stalking animals maybe sometimes for days to get the right light, to get the right setting.
Exactly.
Is there technology that photographers can use to make that process easier?
Well, I think the technology has certainly improved. There are more different kinds of cameras. There are camera traps. You know, people can, if they have the time and the money to afford the technology, I think that there are more and more ways to get the shots that you want. And then, you know, back in the lab, back when you're actually looking at the images, there are opportunities to really fiddle with those images. And I think, again, that's a place where some people draw the line at just, you know, maybe cleaning up an image or maybe working on the contrast, whereas you do hear stories of people adding zebras to a zebra herd to make it look fuller in the picture, that sort of thing. And that's, you know, something that many of us would question.
We're speaking with Jennifer Holland. She's a contributing writer for National Geographic. Geographic and has written a great deal about animals, including a new book about unusual animal pairings. We're speaking with her about the ethics of wildlife photography. Well, let's turn to video technology. It's advanced to such a point where filmmakers can be very creative and potentially invasive. Here's a clip from the 2010 BBC wildlife special Polar Bear, Spy on Ice. Now, in this clip, they've set up this camera. It's called a blizzard cam to track the bears. One of the cameras freezes into the ice, and, well, this is what happens.
Polar bears will try to eat almost anything, including Blizzard Cam's armoured covering. Perhaps he thinks Blizzard Cam's coating has a soft centre.
Well, audiences do want to see intimate images of animals, and we want to get into the molehole. We want to see the polar bear's snout. This is potentially endangering to an animal.
Yeah, you know, it's, again, I think that on the one hand, in terms of being honest, it's very clear what they're doing. So we're not, you know, they're not trying to trick an audience into thinking that, you know, this was some magical moment that they happened to capture on film. On the other hand, if the animal could potentially be hurt or eat something that it shouldn't be eating, that does make it questionable, and that does maybe raise some eyebrows in the wildlife biology community.
I was watching Planet Earth, I guess it was a couple weeks ago, a wildly popular program. This is David Attenborough's program, and people just love him. And there's a scene where the camera goes into the den of a platypus, basically. And, you know, in other shots that really surprised me, you're inside of an anthill and, you know, you see the tongue of the anteater comes right down inside of it. Now, we've become to expect this in our nature specials. How does audience expectation play into this question of ethics?
I think it's a huge point. And we really want to see that. And now it's so competitive because there are going to be films that are going to take that extra step and really, really get in there. And if you're not willing to do that, you're probably not going to be the number one show. You know, my feeling is that those kinds of programs, the Planet Earth series, those are just beautiful, amazing programs, and they really do get you to see nature in a different way, see it in a way that you would never see it otherwise, and to appreciate it in a new way. And my hope would be that that's the kind of thing that changes behavior, that makes people care, that, you know, convinces them to give money to a good cause, to help in conservation. So, you know, I think that those programs do serve a very, very important purpose.
But we're raising the possibility that a photographer who does shoot ethically might have a disadvantage, you know, might not get hired. Can you be a successful and ethical photographer?
That is a hard one. I think, I interviewed Jeff Hogan, who's a filmmaker, and his feeling about it was that you have to be willing to put in the time. You know, it's not that you will never break your own rules and that you'll never maybe take a little bit of a shortcut to get something, but that if you really, really love what you're doing and you really care about what you're filming, especially, you know, you want to care about what you're filming more than you care about getting the shot, as he put it, and that eventually you're going to capture the things that you want to capture if you're very, very patient, and if you know enough about the animals that you're filming, if you're educated about them and know what they're going to do when, or have a sense at least of where to find the things that you want to shoot, that you can really remain ethical and remain a fly on the wall and not get too involved with what you're photographing.
It's not as if these photographers are, you know, foes to animals. Nancy Black, in fact, the marine biologist who baited the orcas that we spoke about earlier, she's done a great deal of research on killer whales. Now, when one's work is for the betterment of the animal species, should there be an allowance? Should there be an exception to the rules?
Well, in my personal opinion, you know, there are times when crossing a line a little bit is worthwhile. Again, you're going to have a whole variety of answers to that question, and I haven't really been put in the position of having to make a choice to really cross a line. I'm usually as the writer on pieces, you're kind of a little bit in the background, and it's really more up to the photographer to decide how close you're going to get. But I do think that getting people to care and getting people excited about biology and nature is a very, very important thing. And we're not, you know, we're not unnatural. It's not unnatural for humans to be in a wilderness situation to potentially interact with wild animals. But I think it's just a matter of careful thinking and respect for animals and just being very, very aware of how your presence impacts what's around you.
Jennifer Holland, contributing writer for National Geographic, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Now, Jennifer wrote the article, Don't Feed the Bears, Ethics in Wildlife Photography and Filmmaking. You'll find a link to more on that article and also more on her book, Unlikely Loves. It's about unusual animal pairings. All that at wordofmouthradio.org.